this episode of Modern Practice, we'll continue our discussion about single-use ureteroscopes and why their use is growing. I'm your host, Dr. Tomas Villanueva, Senior Principal for Performance Improvement Consulting at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Returning to our podcast is Andrew Brunderman, Category Manager in Surgical Services at Vizient. Andrew, good to have you back.
Great to be back.
So in the last episode, you introduced single-use ureteroscopes and their potential impact on clinical practice. Now let's get to the heart of the discussion. So what sort of case mix or circumstances would compel you to actually recommend introducing single use within a practice or even a provider?
Wonderful question. And I think that's what's at every provider's mind as far as considering these. We're seeing a lot of adoption at AMCs, those academic medical centers, and teaching facilities. They're going to break more scopes. That's to be expected. You have these new residents getting their feet wet, learning to navigate challenging anatomy. They're going to break scopes. So rather than that happen to a reusable scope that might cost up to $80,000 to acquire, shift them to learning on a single-use scope that's much less of a financial burden if and when it does happen. You also have certain endoscopic procedures that'll pose a greater risk of damaging a reusable scope, such as when there's a stone in the lower pole. And so if you know you're more likely to break it, try a single-use scope. The last couple set of circumstances I've seen is that if you have concerns about the stability of your SPD department, that your sterile processing department, or their training programs, then reprocessing that scope can be upwards of 100 different steps. If you don't have someone you can train up in a hurry, that's very resource intensive. And so you could supplement that with single use scopes. And lastly, we've seen some facilities on the last case of the day or their weekend cases use single use scopes or for their Medicare patients only, since it's now a cost wash due to that new TPT payment code that CMS introduced in 2023.
That's actually good to know. So let's actually review that again. So it's by the complexity of a case, and particularly that the end user clinician may not be that experienced in using it and or a higher rate of maybe even breaking a fixed stone. The complexity of a case in which more dexterity is necessary for the procedure, this is something a single use may be of more of a concern, or actually more of an option is what I meant to say. And then particularly among those cases where sterilization may be of question or that there is an access issue, which many of our organizations are going through right now, where actually you don't have to worry about that if you're using a single use. Did I miss any that you really wanted to elevate to our listeners?
No, I'd say you really hit that on the head. And again, that reprocessing can take a couple hours. And so that's why we've seen that in the last case of the day or the weekend cases, because if you have an employee or a tech that stays over, they may run into overtime, and managing those FTE hours is also very important as our providers are running these razor slim margins. But great recap.
Let's ask the ultimate question here. What are the capital costs and considerations come into play in using these single-use ureteroscopes?
So in comparison to the historical way of doing it, those reusable endoscopes have high acquisition costs ranging from $13,000 to $85,000 per scope. And repairs are also needed on those reusable endoscopes, usually in a dozen or less uses on average, followed by a secondary repair in less than 8 additional uses. And one study even found that half the cost of maintaining a flexible ureteroscopy program using those reusables is due to repairs. You don't have that with the single-use scope issues. They're a lot cheaper to acquire. And because a lot of these suppliers have recycling programs, once you're done with it, you can just throw it in their that supplier-branded bin. They'll recycle it. It's out of your hands. You don't have to keep somebody over. You don't have to continually repair and maintain scopes, whereas with the reusables, you would.
That actually brings up a very good point. So in reference to cost-benefit, so what I'm hearing from you, there's actually a return on investment by using these single-use scopes simply because these more fixed scopes tend to have higher rates of breakage, if you will, or requiring either repair or even just keeping them functional, not to even mention what the costs are of using the sterilization process.
Yes, I want to give the caveat that single-use scopes might not be a great fit for every single facility. It's not a panacea, but it's definitely worth exploring because in many cases, depending on your SPD department or your staffing concerns or your case mix, if you have a lot of Medicare patients, yes, it could have a great return on investment to use those single-use scopes. In the past, some of these earlier iterations of single-use reader scopes, the ergonomics might have not been right, or the active deflection capabilities of those scopes might have not been ideal for maybe difficult anatomy. But there's been a lot of technological advances that really bring single-use scopes now more than ever right there, or even superior to some reusable endoscopes, according to some studies, to really navigate that difficult anatomy, maybe in that lower pole where it might be a difficult stone to reach. And I would sincerely encourage a physician who maybe had a bad experience in the past to at least hold or try to drive one that's just been released in recent years, especially because there's some unique features that some suppliers have come out with as far as monitoring intrarenal pressure, which monitoring that can help fend off any conditions of sepsis or other complications, which have their own sets of costs.
So you brought up that we certainly don't want to make this seem that it's a panacea. So what are the downsides and how would you answer to those concerns?
So some of the downsides and concerns I hear, the one I hear the most is, what about the waste, their environmental impact? But we have multiple suppliers on contract that have taken active roles in your carbon neutral manufacturing, your 100% recyclable direct packaging, your use of bioplastics in manufacturing, and those in-house or third-party recycling programs I mentioned earlier, where you use a single-use scope and then you have an Ambu or a Boston Scientific or Karl Storz branded bin there. You can dispose your single-use scope in that bin and it'll be picked up just like it would with your Sharps containers. And that's at no additional cost to the provider. Another area that I see is that maybe it's not as cost effective, but that claim also often fails to consider any upstream, downstream costs, such as service contracts, as I mentioned earlier, repairs, cost of PPE, chemical cost, usage of water to reprocess, labor costs for those techs to reprocess, and the costs of cross-contamination, adverse events, God forbid they happen.
Those are all very good points, and some I haven't really considered. So, any last thoughts for our listeners?
I would just drive home the point that, again, it's not considered a panacea, but the single-use flexible digital ureteroscope, it's really transformed that interventional urology market. You see companies continue to innovate, new entrants to the market, making those disposable ureteroscope tools clinically, financially, operationally, and even environmentally viable for providers to try out. Single-use scopes, again, they're not a panacea, but they can be an excellent complement to your existing ureteroscopy procedures and suite.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us in this series. And to our listeners, you can contact Andrew at his email address posted in our resource section. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me at modernpracticepodcast@visiantinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And now, I'm Dr. Tomas Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.